Welcome to episode 39 of the Walk and Talk podcast. I'm Greg Johnson, and today is Friday, September 4th, 2020. The topic for this episode is going to be focused on the idea of success, and specifically success within social media. And the measure of success for many people, I think, is subscribers or followers. How many regular followers do you have? I saw a video on YouTube from a photographer who has quite a few followers. I think it's about 500,000 people. And the point that this person made was that even though there are these 500,000 subscribers on YouTube, that the average video might just get 35,000 or 40,000 views. And generally what they were saying is that about 10% of the people who have subscribed will actually watch a particular episode, maybe more, maybe less. And that really struck me as significant. But I'd seen numbers like that elsewhere online, that, for example, I have a Facebook page dedicated to tiny houses and small houses, and there are about 18,000 people signed up there. But when a post goes live on Facebook, it might only get a few hundred views, and from that, maybe 10 clicks. Now, certainly, some of that is based on the content. Is it of interest? Is it well presented? Etc. How attractive is that information and relevant to the viewers? But when you have essentially an opt-in situation where people have said, I am interested in these videos or in this content, you assume there's going to be a higher than usual rate of response, right? There's an email service called MailChimp. It's similar to Constant Contact. There are these services where you can have a newsletter and people can subscribe. And I remember once after sending out a newsletter to a couple hundred people who had expressed an interest in it, there were only about, I think at the time, and this was years ago, but there were about 20 who actually opened it, opened the email. And then if I had some things in there for people to click on, maybe there were one or two. And those are basically the numbers, whether it's an email or YouTube videos or posts on Facebook, that it's just magnitudes of difference. You know, you begin with an interested audience, which is a subset of the overall possible. Like, you could post something on a certain topic to your friends, let's say you have 1,000 friends. Well, not all 1,000 people are going to be interested in that particular topic. So it's understood that right off the bat, if you're starting with what is sort of referred to as cold calling, but you're not trying to sell anything, you're just putting some information out there, there is only going to be a smaller number of people interested in the information. So you jump from, you know, your 1,000 friends to maybe 100 that might have an interest in that topic. And then, among those 100 that might have the interest in the topic, the question is, you know, how many have time? How many even see it? Because, of course, that's a factor on YouTube or Facebook or even with an email through MailChimp. People aren't always, you know, having enough time to follow these things. And in social media, there's a question of whether or not they happen to be sitting at their, you know, computer at that moment and able to see that post, because that's just a moment in time that it might be on somebody's timeline. And the same is true really for YouTube. For people that aren't on YouTube every day, they're not checking their subscribers every day. It's not that they're ignoring you, it's just that they don't necessarily see that content. Okay, but I wanted to talk a little bit at the beginning here about the mechanics of how this all works. So when you see somebody who has a million followers, that doesn't mean that they have potentially the ability to reach out and influence those million people, even though those people are called influencers. You know, anyone with that many followers would be considered an influencer. There's really not much influence they can have. And then when you look at the, you know, smaller and smaller and smaller percentages of impact, beginning with, you know, how many people saw the item, how many people actually clicked on it, etc., and then the few that actually got through to the content itself, did they take action, or was there, did they learn something, did it change their mind in some way, did they purchase something, what was the outcome? And so it's important to have realistic expectations of what a person is working toward. I've had a few videos on YouTube that, in my little world, I would say they went viral, meaning, you know, 30,000 views, 100,000 views, something like that. The views were disproportionate to my general popularity and following on YouTube. And so there was some other reason why those became popular. I think I have about 20 or 30 views as kind of a standard expectation on videos. They're very, many of them very specific to help people with very specific technical problems or talking about certain issues. So they're not entertainment news. They're not, you know, about Tesla or some topic that a lot of people are interested in. But anyway, that's the following that I sort of expect to have as far as views for every video. But yes, some of these have had a lot of views. And it was exciting, you know, to have, I remember, you know, this 30,000 views on a video I created about my washer dryer. I didn't anticipate that one being popular, but I thought I would just make a video of it anyway. But I mentioned the make and the model number and all of that. So anyone searching Google for information on that particular washer and dryer set and that model, that video was probably one of the few available, because not many people are making videos of a specific washer dryer. It's become more popular in recent years, but not back then. And one day I realized that the notifications somehow had gotten turned off or something. So I was not being notified when people had comments or questions on my videos. And I'd sort of, you know, forgotten about that aspect of social media. I know that sounds funny, but, you know, I just thought, oh, well, you know, I'll post these videos and people might be interested. And I kind of left it at that. I didn't think about it as a part-time job to kind of interact with viewers and respond to questions and comments. I just hadn't thought about that. I guess partly because I didn't see myself as somebody who was going to get a lot of views. But anyway, there's a certain, I would say, a certain responsibility to respond to the comments and questions that people have when something is posted online, whether it's a podcast or a video or an article or something on Facebook. Otherwise, it really becomes just a practice and exercise in advanced narcissism, you know, just putting out content, hearing oneself talk or video record or write an article or whatever, but, you know, just sending out all that content and then never listening to others, never responding to others. And I'm guessing it's overwhelming, you know, for people that get a level of success in their social media. There's no way that a single individual can respond to, you know, millions of people. And so it creates a situation where the, you know, content provider, the content creator, is really unable to have any sort of meaningful interactions with people, other than maybe kind of a random, you know, lottery sampling of questions that come in, it's really just, I think, would be overwhelming. Something that politicians will do, or corporations will do, big companies will hire people to be their social media managers, communications directors, and communications team. So there's always a response on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, etc. Facebook actually monitors how quickly organizations respond to requests, and that average response time is listed on the page. So if you become good at responding to people, your page, I think, is considered to have a higher rank. And so that's an important reason to get back to people. And, you know, even if it's on a celebrity's Twitter feed or something, just having some kind of response, even from a staff person or whatever, I think is a big step forward. Some systems, like with Facebook, allow for an automated response immediately. And that's kind of nice as well. It's sort of like the automated response you get by email if you request customer service. Some companies will send out a message that says, your request has been received, it's being processed, you should hear back from somebody. So you can create your own custom response on Facebook, just like you would as an auto reply for an email. But if I were to summarize this podcast episode, it would be 2 points. Number one, the reach that we think we have and the impact we think we have is not as big as we imagine it to be, because we're only working with dramatic drops, as I described earlier, in actually how far the message and information goes and how much impact it has. So that's number one. And then number two is, for those that eventually do reach a big following, do they have the time to really engage in a meaningful personal way with a million people? They don't. You know, so I guess for myself, I sort of want to have 100,000 views, but then I shy away from that because what I really want is maybe 100 views or 1,000 views, or enough views so that the resulting questions and comments can be responded to by me. And I think that's a more properly scaled, livable, sustainable way to approach things. Or if it's a company and there's lots of questions, then, you know, hire a dozen people to be making sure that the folks get responded to. Well, I'm at the end of the trail, back to civilization. It was a good walk. Today it was about 49 degrees, so it's kind of our first crisp fall day. And that's always a nice sign that fall is upon us. But you can hear the traffic noise in the background. So thank you very much for taking time to listen. Let me know if you have any questions. Feel free to reach out. And I appreciate all the likes and the shares and the comments and subscribes. And I look forward to sharing more with you again soon. Take care.